Shabbat shalom, everyone. Jim, that was a great Torah portion. Thank you very much. Are we live yet? No? Okay. This is part two of the End Time series, and I'm not sure how much is in here, but if I could pay you to come give this message so I could just sit down and relax... Would you be willing? No, I'm just kidding. Just messing with you. You did say, you say some things that others aren't willing to say. And at times that's true. But here we are, part two of the End Time series. Because we're living in it. We're living in something that sure looks like the end times, doesn't it? We're living in a time where common sense is no longer applicable. It appears sanity has left the country. But today is the 4th of July, right? So I'm going to depart from the screen. You can just leave it there. For a little while longer, it's okay to have this. Right? It's okay. It's okay to have a flag. It's okay to actually have some pride in America. And it is the day... that in our history, they declared independence from Great Britain. And I'm not a historian, but I wanted to point out a few things because I wanted to bring some hope, okay? If you read the prophets, you don't get a whole lot of hope, do you? You get the last two verses, maybe, three or four verses, but you don't get a whole lot of hope. The Father's more interested in warning you so that you don't really need to worry about your outcome. So I want to just go through a couple things that are going on in this country because so many people hate the saying, make America great again. And I'm not here to defend the saying, and I'm not here to defend the man that's currently saying it, but do you realize that that saying was used by Ronald Reagan and Bill Clinton? So let me ask you a question. Do they hate the saying or do they hate the person that's saying it? I would suggest to you it's neither. I would suggest to you they're just hating who they're told to hate. That's who they're told to hate. They go to social media, they go to liberal media, and they just do what they're told to do. So are they angry about what's the country really represents, or are they angry about what's being told to them about what the country really represents? And this message really can't be about the history of our country, and that's not the point. The point is, has any country on earth ever been great to everyone? Of course not. No country on earth has ever had everybody that loves everything about it. Even Israel in its heyday, when it was probably at its very best, did any of the kings ever make mistakes? Did they ever sin against the Almighty? But yet he called Israel the apple of his eye. They weren't flawless. They didn't do everything perfectly. The United States is far from perfect, just like every country on earth. But today, I want to share with you just a few things, because the question came up, is there anything redeeming about this country? Because if you watch the news, depending on the channel, you might think there's nothing redeeming about this country. And I'm not doing this in ignorance of our faults. I'm doing it because we need a little hope. And today is the 4th of July, and I didn't need your permission on what to speak. So can I do it? Can I just go ahead? All right. Fact. And I know these facts are inconvenient for some people. Facts. We're going to read something about facts in about 30 minutes. Fact. The USA is one of the few countries, if not the first, to provide an amazingly good life for the average person. Middle class, whatever you want to call it. We actually have a middle class here, and the middle class actually is able to do a lot of things that in most countries is impossible. Even in westernized Europe, many of the things we can accomplish here, any color, cannot be accomplished in Europe. Fact, despite its shortcomings, America has provided more social equality than any other society in history. And don't for one second think I don't realize we have things to work on. That's not the point. Can we get better? Of course we can. We're never going to reach the goal until we're in the kingdom. In fact, in America, the destiny of our young people is not something given to them, but something they have a choice to go out and earn. And if you honestly take a look around, as we travel the country, my wife and I have been very, very blessed to be able to travel. And we go to flea markets and we see hardworking people of every color that have gone from nothing and made something. People that have built businesses. People that are willing to get up at 6 in the morning and work till 8 at night if that's what it takes. Fact, America gives more money to other countries and societies around the world than probably the next 5 countries combined. Yes, even to a fault. We give money to countries and it's not even going to the right uses. But we give anyway. Fact, America has sent more missionaries into the world than any other country. And you can argue that they may or may not know their theology, but they're showing them the Bible and they're teaching them about this Jesus that they will eventually find out is really Yeshua who loves them and died for them, at least many of them. We've also sent more private money to those causes around the globe than any other country on earth. Fact, America has freed more countries from dictators and possible annihilation than any other country on earth. Now, have we had some stupid things we've done when we've gone into other countries? Of course. I'm not trying to justify everything we've done. I'm just saying we're not this evil, corrupt nation that we've been painted to be. Fact, and this one is last but not least, if America is so screwed up, if it's so evil, if it's so wrong, then why are people of every color, race around the world trying to get here as fast as possible to start a new life? America has issues that should be addressed. And we in the Messianic community should not turn a blind eye to that. We should be part of the solution, not part of the problem. But make no mistake, do not buy into the rhetoric of the media that we are all corrupt and evil and that we need a cleansing. Instead, let's look at it this way. Because that news media propaganda is really promoting lawlessness. And that's what we have a choice of. We have a choice of lawlessness and righteousness. They don't know it. Do you expect them? You know what? I said this last week. When I am given a message, this is not for the world. Do I expect somebody to tune in out there that's, you know, throwing bricks through windows? No, this is for the believers so that they can take a look at what they're thinking, what they're believing, where they're putting their heart and their emotions. That's a brilliant saying, Jim. I don't know who you said it, but one bad decision away from destroying your life. Let's look at it this way. If you have the guts, God placed you here for a reason. Do you really want to slap the Creator in the face and say he messed up? Why'd you put me in that godforsaken place that's so racist? Did he really make a mistake in placing you here? I'm pretty sure if I read my Bible, it says he took great care in not only shaping us, but choosing where to put us. Would you have preferred he put you in North Korea? No takers on that one. I thought for sure we'd get one or two. How about a country, name it, devastated by Boko Haram? Would you rather be there? Perhaps you'd been preferred to be born in a Muslim country where women are treated like dogs and have no rights whatsoever. How about Cambodia? We had Kara here a few weeks back. How about Cambodia, where the vast majority of children, men and women, boys and girls, I mean, are traded in sex. That just bothers me even saying it. Sex slavery. So why do you insult God by rebelling against him? Why not choose to believe in your heart that despite the problems, this still is a very good country and we have it better than anywhere on earth? We have more ability to climb out of poverty. We have more ability to rise above racism. I got a news flash for you. Racism is not going anywhere until we're done with this fleshly body. The only thing you can do is make sure racism has no place in your heart. And I'm not speaking to white people. I'm speaking to people of every color. Racism isn't about white and black. It's about racism has been in every culture in the history of the world. And it's disgusting in God's eyes. Read his book. He can't stand it. Instead of raging and protesting against the country, why don't you ask, what can I do, God? What can I do to make it better? Didn't a famous Democrat say that in the 1960s? That's right. It was a good quote. It's not a political thing. This is not about Democrat and Republican. There are corrupt people on both sides of that aisle. You know it, and I know it. It's about godly principles, moral standards, and absolute truth, and those can only be found in the Bible. It's about maintaining your religious freedom, having the ability to still hand out food to someone and help a brother and sister. Do you realize there are cities in this country today that you're forbidden for giving food to people? I don't make this stuff up. It's true. It's about being able to share your hope with a lost and dying world. And for God's sake, I'm not saying you shouldn't protest peacefully. There are things and there are some injustices that we need to protest against. But pick and choose wisely if you're a believer. The world's going to go crazy for anything that's thrown at them. All they need to do is get a leaflet like, hey, we're going to give you $20 to show up, and they're there. They're ready to go. But if you're a believer and you believe in Yeshua Messiah, you better watch what you get offended by and watch what you jump in on. And at least take the time to learn what it's all about. Who jumps into a covenant with the Almighty without taking the time to find out what the covenant's all about? See, the problem is the heart of this conflict, there's a serious agenda going on. And this is not a conspiracy theory. It's an agenda. The violence, the COVID, all that stuff, it's a cover-up so you don't see the agenda going on. And you know what it is? It's a lot more detail than I can share with you because I don't know the whole thing, but I know one thing that is critical to you and to me, and that's freedom of religion. Freedom of religion is under attack, so wake up and smell the coffee. This is not about black lives. This is not about impoverished people. If you can't see anything else due to your biases and you're a believer, at least acknowledge this. It's about religious freedom. And the United States, at least for the time being, is the most religiously tolerant country on earth, perhaps to a fault. How many people realize that we enjoy something most of the world doesn't have even a clue what it looks like? The ability to come and fellowship on Shabbat, the ability for Christians to go on Sunday, the ability for people of all different religions to celebrate they want to. That doesn't exist in most of the world. We have religious freedom for the time being. And in the past, I want to give you a warning. In the past, when a political party was against religious freedom, what did they do? They hide their agenda, right? They kept it secretive. They tried to go around the corner and do deceiving things. That was the past. Today, they'll just tell you flat out, this is what we're trying to do. We're going to tear down anything you think you can say in the Bible. We're going to rip that right out of your hands. Because the Bible is headed for hate speech. So the question is, do you believe them? Do you take them at their word? Or are you going to just push it under the table and say it's right-wing propaganda? Too many of them are coming out and verbally telling you what they want to do. We don't want you to have the right to assemble. We don't want you to be speaking about what God has to say about these various different topics that we don't think is politically correct for you to follow. So what do I mean by these things that they're trying to do? Because if you've made it this far, and you're here today or you're listening online, that means you listened to my double dog dare and you're here, right? So I'm excited you're here because I asked you to listen to the end. You know, and then throw me under the bus if you don't like it. I'm okay with that because I have a responsibility to my Creator, and this is an uncomfortable message that I'm not comfortable giving, but I had to do it. So what do I mean? What are some of the things they're openly telling you they're going to get rid of? The way God defines marriage between man and woman. See, that's false. You can no longer say that in a lot of places, right? Jim's in the corporate world, some other people. There's certain things you just can't say in the corporate world anymore. In fact, you're demonized for saying it. And there's things underway to make that against the law. It's already against a lot of corporate law. See, there are also people who say it's, they say that human life is not really human life until you visibly see it. Because they want to allow abortion anytime right up to birth. But wait, there's another smaller group gaining traction that say even after you can see the baby, you should have the right to be able to take its life. Where do you draw the line? Where do you draw the line? Preaching much of the Word of God is already being labeled hate speech. See, if they don't agree with any part of the Bible, it becomes hate speech. Who are they? I have no idea. Who's the cancel culture? Who are all these anarchists and the fascists and all this stuff? Anti-fascists. I don't know who they are, but they're saying that this is hate speech, the Bible. It's because they don't know what the Bible says. What about this one? Refusing to have your children vaccinated with the poison they're putting in there now makes you unfit to be a parent in many states. And if you think it's not coming to Georgia, think again. Often your kids are taken away from you if you spank them. And I'm totally against brutalizing your kids. That's not what the Bible talks about. Not sparing the rod just means that they need discipline. And you know what? There's not one person in this room who's going to stand up and say that if they got a spanking in the butt properly, that that was a horrible thing that traumatized them. I can only speak for myself. Every spanking I got, I deserved, and I probably avoided hundreds that I did deserve that I didn't get. If you mention biblical ideas or concepts in many a workplace, you can be fired instantly. And you know what? As a Christian, you got no rights. You got no rights to go back because who's going to side with you? Judges have thrown the Constitution out the window. It's no longer the Constitution they judge by. It's their opinion, depending on which side of the road they're on. It's a joke. The Ten Commandment monuments are being removed while the government funds Muslim foot washings. You know, I don't understand all this. I'm just reading it to you. It's fact. It's not. I know some of you are getting upset. Oh, that's not. It's fact. Go look it up. And don't go to CNN.com, Communist News Network. How about trying to run a Christian company? How hard is it to do that nowadays? People always say, man, the congregation works for you. You're a small little company. I got like four people that work there. It's because I'm terrified to put an ad in the paper. You know, if a gay person walks in the door and you don't give them the job, it doesn't matter if they're not qualified or not. It just matters they were gay, and you better hire an attorney. So let me ask you a question. And this might be for somebody in the audience, might be for somebody online, I don't know. But I'm going to ask it anyway, and I want you to listen to this question. How do you expect to stand before your Creator and say you stood by and did nothing to stand against these lawless people who want to tear your Bibles right out of your hands and force you to renounce what the Bible stands for? How do you intend to stand before God and say, well, I didn't want to bother, it was inconvenient? If we can't take a stand for the Word of God, where does that leave us? I'm going to borrow a few things from Pastor Ivor Myers. He's a black pastor that understands completely what's going on in this country. Somebody sent it to me, and I'm not going to plagiarize somebody's message without at least giving him credit, and I'm actually not going to do the whole message. He's got a very slow delivery. It's an hour and 10 minutes. It'll be one of the best hour and 10 minutes you can ever spend if you're going to watch something online. Ivor Myers on racism. While you're turning over to Ezekiel 1, and I would like for everybody who has their Bible to look over there, let me ask you a question while you're turning there. And you don't even need to be looking at me to understand this. So you can look at your Bible, turn to Ezekiel 1. Whose likeness does the Bible say that we were created in? The image of God, right? How many different races did God create on day 6 of creation in Genesis? This is not a trick question.
One.
He created one man, right? And then he created Eve. We don't know. Doesn't matter how far out. Adam and Eve, it says, were the mother and father of all creation in our Bibles. After the flood, Noah and his family became the parents of all generations, right? We are created as one people, and it's one race, it's the human race. But see, within that human race, there's different ethnos. We talked about ethnos in Matthew 24 last week. There's different groups of people. That all comes after the Tower of Babel. You all have read it before. But we were all created in the likeness of God. It has nothing to do with what your skin color is, your different customs you grew up with, what things you like to eat. We were all created in the image of God. So I know you're all there, but I'm not ready yet. Have you ever wondered what the likeness of God may look like? Has anybody wondered that? I know you've heard some of the ridiculous discussions, right? You know, like what color God is. Anybody ever heard that knucklehead idea? Or they talk about, you know, what color Jesus was. All a distraction, foolishness, wives' tales. But the answer is written in Ezekiel 1 on what the image of God looked like. So we're going to go to it and we're going to read it because you wouldn't believe me if I told you. Ezekiel 1:27. And it says, "And upward from what had the appearance of his waist, I saw, as it were, gleaming metal, like the appearance of fire enclosed all around. And downward from what had the appearance of his waist, I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire. And there was a brightness around him, like the appearance of the bow that is in the sky on the day of rain. So was the appearance of the brightness all around. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of Jehovah. And when I saw it, I fell on my face, and so would each and every one of us." So Ezekiel is given a vision of what the Creator looks like, because we know he can't see him. If anybody were to be in front of him, he would die. And what Ezekiel describes to us is clear as the colors of the rainbow. So does God have a favorite color? I highly doubt it. I think he loves all color because he created it all. He loves all people because he created us all. So if we take the scriptures literally, which I tend to do, because we're usually told when it's a parable, right? If God is encompassed with all colors of the rainbow, and we know that in the book of Revelation it says that he will be surrounded by people of every tribe, every tongue, every race that we call race. Does it not make sense that we only show forth his glory when we are all unified in one body, one race of people, all colors? See, the kingdom of heaven is made up of every tribe and tongue on earth. That means, to me, that means not one tribe or tongue will be left out. There's going to be somebody that's part of the kingdom from all of them. To properly display God's glory, we must learn to worship together corporately. And we've done this in the past. We've had Latinos worshiping here with us. We've had black people worshiping here with us. And when they walk through that door, I don't see a Latino or a black. I see a brother and sister. And I am not aware of one time where anybody in this house has ever seen anybody other than in that way. Brothers and sisters that I will get to spend eternity with. So why are we so wounded? Why are we so wounded? Why are we so angry about what our forefathers may have done generations ago? Are we responsible for what our forefathers did 4 or 5 generations ago? I hope not. Now, it's a good thing to cast off those generational curses that were handed down to you, but we're not responsible for whatever a Eubank did in the 1850s. I'm not. I'm responsible for now. Besides that, I got a newsflash. In the 1800s, not every white person was evil. There were a lot of white people that were against slavery and fought to help them and actually helped rescue them and get them out of the areas where they were being tormented. In 1950s, it was bad in America. It was disgusting, some of the stuff we look back and see, but not everybody was evil. And the majority were actually good people who didn't think that way. In 2020, we're not all evil just because of the color of our skin. Why are we so wounded? Because we're so easily distracted by the enemy. Who's behind this hatred, anger, animosity, violence, theft, murder, chaos, injustice, and every other crime you see today? Is that God working out his thing? Who is it that hates God and anyone that serves him? Who is it that hates seeing the glory of God? And see, when we join colors and we come here just as brothers and sisters and we worship, that's the glory of God. And Satan hates it. See, Satan is behind this, but how many believers are upset with him? How many believers are furious about what's going on out there, and they're not even seeing the spiritual realm and the battle that's waging? And it's a battle for your soul. Remember I told you got two voices on your shoulder. Both want to spend eternity with you. Are you one bad decision away from spending eternity with the wrong voice? If you have fallen victim to any level of this hatred or anger, I urge you to not only listen to the entire message by Pastor Ivor Myers, but I encourage you to dig into the Word of God and repent. Because if you do not forgive, you cannot be forgiven. It's just a simple, straightforward. There is no negotiation on Judgment Day, okay? And Pastor Meyer, I'm going to sum up what he called for, and I thought the way he phrased it was brilliant. And if you listen to the whole thing, it'll be even better. But he says, I am calling for a rebellion and an uprising. It's a black pastor. I'm calling for a rebellion and an uprising. I'm calling for the slaves to rise up, not against flesh and blood, but against the owner of this world's slave plantation, Satan. See, Satan hates all human flesh. He hates all of us. Every color, every tribe, every tongue hates us all. He doesn't want anything that's good for you. So, if all colors of people, all ethnos, all tribes, all tongues will be worshiping the Creator in His kingdom, can we not at least start here? If the fulfillment of the new covenant will come when Yeshua lands on earth, can we not be practicing the new covenant now? We talk about this all the time. The complete fullness of Jeremiah 31 will come when he steps foot on the Mount of Olives. That doesn't give us an excuse to say, well, we don't need to bother now. Most people have given in to the anger and hatred. They've done it because others have told them how to think, what to say, or what to do. And see, what is happening in America is not a protest for equality. It's not a protest about injustices. And again, I'm not saying that those injustices don't exist. They do. But what this really is a totalitarian movement. And it's a coup d'etat of the United States of America. And too many Christians are buying into this. I will freely tell you that Black Lives Matter. That doesn't bother me at all, because it's true. But I'll also tell you that all lives matter, and I will not say that hesitantly. Because you know what? That's what the Word of God says. And if you don't like that I just said that, you show me in the Word of God where I'm wrong. And then I will be up here next week apologizing. You see, political correctness, that's another cancer. Social media is a cancer. I'm not saying 100% of the time, but it's a cancer. Because it trains our mind how to think. So political correctness is another cancer. Because you know what it is? It's a disguise for trying to manipulate you into thinking and speaking the way the crowd, the mob, tells you to think and speak. And you know, they're all too, whoever they are, they're all too happy to tell you how to speak and think. But they do it on the fly. You ever notice how things change, like daily? Like this is in, well, we're going to do transgender bathrooms now. Well, now over here, now we got to do this new thing where we don't even know. I'm a dinosaur. I'm a cloud. I'm a fruitcake. Yes, you are a fruitcake. I will never be told that other lives don't matter. But I love black people. I love white people. I love Latinos. I love Hispanic people. And especially when they're children of the Most High God. Don't get swept up into this. Stand for the injustices. Don't get swept up into this. If you're still here and you still hang on Do some of the research. If you don't think some of the stuff I'm saying is true, that's fine. You have the right to think that. Go do some research. But don't do it on Facebook and Twitter. All you're going to find is a bunch of twits. You see, Black Lives Matter. See, I love Black Lives and I care about Black Lives, but Black Lives Matter is a for-profit company that's not really what it appears on the outside. I tempered a lot of what I was thinking about saying, and I'm going to tell you exactly why. Some of this stuff you will not receive from me. But go look it up for yourself. But do some digging. Don't read the first thing you read. See, that's exactly what I wanted it to say. Read both sides. Read both sides. Do some research. Find the founders. Find out what they stand for. Because I think that the black lives that do matter are being disenfranchised by an organization that I don't think is really for them. And I'm going to tell you a couple things, and that's it. And the rest I want you to go study for yourself. Because I have a question. Have you even dared to look into the organization you're planting, you know, logos on and wearing T-shirts and you're doing all this? Have you even looked into it? The name is catchy. It's appealing. But so is a fish on a hook. And what happens to the fish when he bites the hook? He becomes dinner. Okay? You need to look into what you're doing. You need to pay attention. You need to be alert. I'm talking to Christians. The world's going to fall for anything. The Antichrist comes in there and goes, me first. I want the marks. Give me 2 marks. I don't care. Christians should not be so foolish. They should not be so unwise. This, if you want to donate to Black Lives Matter, you know what happens when you hit donate? You get redirected to Act Blue Charities. Wait a minute. I wanted to donate to Black Lives Matter. I wanted to help black people. I'm all for the social injustices. Why am I redirected to another company? Because Black Lives Matter isn't a company. They don't exist. They're an internet. They have 3 founders. You can reach people by email. There's no offices. There's no way to walk up to their doors and knock. They have no doors. They have no offices. They don't have a corporate entity. They go to Act Blue Charity. Act Blue Charity, I want you to look this up for yourself because this is going to really tick you off. It's going to really upset you, and I'm sorry, but this is the truth. Go find this out for yourself, and don't read one article and be done with it. Act Blue Charities is set up to fund the Democratic Party. So, okay, listen, let's be honest. Maybe many people are okay with that. They like the Democratic Party, and they want to fund that. But do you really think that people that gave $200 million in the last 2 months, which is what's happened, really did not want any of their money to help black lives? Do you know how many unsuspecting people that really thought they were doing something good are being deceived? Act Blue Charities. Look it up for yourself. Go click on the link to donate and see where it takes you. But when you scroll down, go all the way to the bottom, because that's where you got to go to find out what you're buying into. See, this is all about money and power. Money and power. Heck, if I thought it was really helping black people, truly helping them, I'd be more than willing to take a look and help myself. But they have no care about the black community. Next question. How much of those hundreds of millions go to actually help the black people? Guess what? I have no idea because you can't find any incidences. Maybe they do. I don't know. But you don't see it. Would a political arm take some of their money and give it to black lives? Maybe. I don't know. All I know is this. Black lives do matter, but get your head in the game, Christians. Get your head in the game, believers in Yeshua. Yeshua said, do not be alarmed when this happened. It has to happen. Ethnos rises against ethnos. Why are you so angry? Why are you so mad? Why don't you be part of the solution? At House of Scripture, we have never, and I'm pretty much speaking for everybody because I think it would have got back to me, we have never showed even the slightest amount of racism to anybody. I truly mean that. Everybody that comes through the door here is welcome. I welcome people of all color because you know what? You're going to be my brothers and sisters and I'm going to spend eternity with you. That is if we finish the race. I will not allow this house to forsake the truth of the gospel for what is politically correct today, because that will change tomorrow to follow their agenda. Isaiah prophesied, he said, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. So let's get back. I want to talk one more minute about totalitarianism. Remember I said a few minutes ago, this is a totalitarianism movement? Some of you know exactly what that means, but most of you are like me. And you just had like a general idea, but you really didn't know what it means. I'll freely admit it. I had no idea. So I just went and looked it up. And I decided not to look up just one source. I looked it up in three or four different dictionaries. And before I read it to you, I want to give you a little more emphasis. Do you know who invented the term? Benito Mussolini. Just for fun, go look up him and see how things were under him, okay? Just for fun one day when you're bored. World War I, he was the ruler over Italy. Life was pretty much a mess. Here's what totalitarianism is. It is a term for a political system or form of government that, and I want you to listen to this carefully and see if you can see any of this in our society and how it would apply to us as believers. A political system or form of government that prohibits opposition parties, restricts individual opposition to the state and its claims, and exercises an extremely high degree of control over public and private life. It is regarded as the most extreme and complete form of authoritarianism. Isn't that what's going on right now? They want to tell you how to think. They want to tell you that your Bible is hate speech. They want to tell you that you need to embrace these agendas. Not only is this the complete opposition of the freedom that our founders died for to give us this freedom in this land, it's in complete opposition to everything that Yeshua died for to give us freedom so that we could celebrate his word and his instructions in a way that would please the Father. This is totally an act of aggression towards the Creator. In hindsight, if you've been serving these protests, encouraging these protests, forwarding emails about it, in hindsight, you're actually part of the problem. I'm not saying you see it, but you're part of the problem. You didn't think you were protesting for this, but did you protest? You didn't think you were outraged because of this totalitarianism. No, you thought it was something else. But were you outraged? You were told that causing trillions in damage, yes, it's trillions now. Trillions in damage and killing people and injuring people were all worth the cause. How often have we heard that in history? The ends justify the means. It's a mantra that keeps rolling over and over, generation after generation. You were told it was all worth it, but how does God look at it? Because that's the only thing that matters. You know, an angry mob's not going to judge you on Judgment Day. It's going to be an angry God if you're not careful. Dr. Tony Evans said he had to explain to his kids something that white people don't have to do. He told them, never resist the police and always submit to them, even if they are wrong. I have a great deal of respect for Tony Evans, and in fact, I used to listen to a lot of his messages. He's fairly sound in his doctrine and appears to me to be a very good man. And by the way, that's great advice, but I have one problem. I think that comment is a little pandering. Let me tell you why. All good parents tell their children, don't resist the police. My dad sat me down when I was getting my driver's license and he gave me the whole speech. And he put the fear of God in me. He says, it doesn't matter if they're wrong. You submit, you don't argue with them, you say yes sir, no sir, and you live to walk another day. So while I respect the fact that Tony did this for his kids, it's not a black or white thing. It's a human thing. This is common sense. It's something we should all do if we truly love our children. See, the biggest cry from true leadership out in the mob today should be stop resisting arrest. Stop resisting arrest. Do you know how many thousands of lives that would save? Black, white, Latino, Asian? It doesn't matter. Stop resisting arrest. Far more white people are killed than black people resisting arrest. And you know why we're not outraged? Look, I don't like it. What happened to George Floyd? That was just dead wrong. That was dead wrong. I'm not trying to justify this, but had he not resisted arrest, it wouldn't have happened. Yeah, I said that. You want to stone me for that? I'm telling you, it was wrong. And those guys are going to pay dearly for it, most likely with their lives, in or out of prison. But common sense is not something the protest people want to talk about, do they? You know why? Because it's not convenient. It doesn't fit their real agenda. See, that's why they won't address the crime rate in Chicago or Baltimore. They won't address why crime is so much higher in liberal cities. Like, I'm talking about cities that have been liberal for 40, 50 years. Where are all these promises from the liberal politicians? And you know what? There are some liberal Republicans, too. I'm not talking about just Democrats. Where are all the promises? All these promises they've been given for 50 years have led people to more disparity, more poverty. It's sick. They're relying on the government to supply for them instead of going out and creating a future for themselves and their families. See, they won't address anything with the facts because the facts get in the way of the agenda. Thomas Sowell, anybody know him? Black writer and a highly educated man said this, "The left-wing ideology falls apart like a house of cards when you demand facts." Why? There's no money in it if you take away the if you bring in the facts and you take away their, you know, rhetoric, there's no money. Do you think they would have collected $200 million for just saying, "You know what? We need to help black people's lives out." $200 million in the last few months. It's crazy. See, all these protests were is a distraction from what's really going on, and it's that they want to strip your freedoms from you. They want to strip your right to assemble. They want to strip your right to preach the Bible. They want to strip your right to share the Bible. They want to strip your right to have a joy and a hope. One last thing before we close. What many in the mob are trying to do right now is cleanse the nation. You see it out there? Let's tear down all the statues. Let's erase the history. Let's get rid of building names. Let's change airport names. They're trying to cleanse the nation. At this point in time, it's not an ethnic cleansing. It's rather a social and a spiritual cleansing. See, they're attempting to make anyone that does not agree with them feel like a dog, a slug in society. It's all you evil Christians that cling to your Bibles and your hate speech. We're the problem. See, any country that has ever attempted to go through any type of cleansing, it has not fared well for them. And the repercussions have usually lasted for decades upon decades. If this continues, it will not go well for America, and you as believers need to be responsible, and you need to understand what's really going on. They're trying to tear your religious freedom right out of your hand. But this week, unlike last week, we're going to close with a little hope. Anybody up for that? Anybody need a little hope? Let's close with a little bit from Martin Luther King Jr., and we're going to be talking about him a little more next week, but today I'm going to close with one of the famous lines from his speech. "We must forever conduct our struggle on the high plane of dignity and discipline. We must not allow our creative protest to degenerate into physical violence. Again and again, we must rise to the majestic heights of meeting physical force with soul force. The marvelous new militancy that has engulfed the Negro community must not lead us to distrust all white people, for many of our white brothers as evidenced by their presence here today, have come to realize that their destiny is tied with our destiny. They have come to realize that their freedom is inextricably bound to our freedom. We cannot walk alone. See, Martin Luther started a movement in the 1960s that was peaceful. And you know what? The movement worked. A lot of people will say, you don't know what you're talking about, Tom. It worked. It took way too long, but it worked. We have sat here and dined in this fellowship with brothers and sisters of other color, have we not? We have brothers and sisters of other colors that we treasure and we adore, do we not? I want to suggest to you that we fulfilled part of his dream in 1963 when he gave this speech, when he said this line, "I have a dream that one day on the Red Hills of Georgia, sons of former slaves and sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood." Amen. That prophecy, that dream of his, little did he know it was prophecy, has already been fulfilled in our lifetime. And that's a good thing. Is there much more to be done? Of course there is. Until Yeshua comes back, we should always be striving to be stronger in our faith, to be better in our walk, to be more loving, to rid racism where we can. There's never a question of that. But racism has been alive and well since the beginning of time. And until we are in the Father's kingdom, rid of these fleshly bodies, it's not going to disappear 100%. And the delusion that it will is simply that, a delusion. See, this is not a fight against racism. It's a fight against the Almighty himself and everything he stands for. This is a rejection of his ways, his principles, his instructions. And what are we calling it as the new normal? Lawlessness. See, today I'm proud to say I've cast off all of the traditions that were handed down to me in vanity. That was not just the holidays, the wrong day of worship. It's also the vain traditions of racism. I've cast that off because I've seen clearly in the scriptures that it's wrong and God will have nothing to do with that. I've cast it off because I'm going to spend eternity with my brothers and sisters of all race. And if I can't start here and now loving them, I have no place in the kingdom of God. It is my deepest desire that we reflect the glory of the Lord that Ezekiel was able to see that he told us about in chapter 1. And when we join together in unity, we display that glory, don't we? That, my friends, when we can sit down with our black brothers and sisters, when we can sit down with our Latino brothers and sisters, when we can truly look at one another and only see a Christian brother and sister, when we can truly love one another in a way that is unconditional for those things, that's when God smiles down on us. That's when God is saying, they're getting it. They're getting it. Martin Luther's dream was a biblically sound dream. And we should embrace what he had to say today as we thank the Almighty for choosing a country like this for us to be born into. Because with all its faults, it's still a great country. That doesn't mean we stop and we don't move forward with it. We don't try to improve it. But there's a reason he put us here. And I suggest to you that instead of complaining that he put you here and complaining about the country he put you in, why don't you see if you can do something about making it a better country when you depart this world than it was when you arrived here? Amen? Amen. Jim, would you close us in prayer with a prayer of healing for this nation, please?
See things, Father, see others, Father, as you see them, Father. Create in your image, Father, with hopes and dreams, Father, one day spending eternity with you. Father, I ask that you would reveal your glory and your name across this earth, Father.
Yes, Father.
Drawing those, Father, that would receive you to your heart. Protecting the innocent. Having mercy and grace, Father, across this land. Even, Father, those that are rioting without an understanding of why they're doing it, Father, that you would reveal yourself to them, Father. Touch them where they've been wounded and damaged and hurt, Father, like many of us have been. And you're the healer, Father, that will reach out and mend those wounds, Father, or at least make them tolerable, Father. At least make them, Father, where we can function together and love one another, Father, and just see each other the way that you see each of us, Father. We need your help. Father, we need your grace. We need your mercies every morning. And we need to be a part of that solution, as Tom said, Father. Help us to do that. Help us be more effective, Father. Help your body, Father, that understands who you are and studies your word, Father, how to be more effective, Father, every piece of our lives, Father, whether it's in our families, Father, whether it's in our employer, Father. Father, whether it's with other brothers and sisters, whether it's with people in the marketplace, Father, help us be that light, Father, that makes a difference, Father. One person, Father, at a time. One word at a time, Father. Help us with that, Father. We fall short of it, Father. We're all wounded. We all bring this baggage, Father, and we're so, Father, consumed with carrying our own hurts, Father, we can't minister to those that are hurting. So, Father, in your love, in your great mercy, Father, in your compassion for mankind, help us this day, Father. Glorify your name, one person at a time, Father. We give you praise and glory. In this house, Father, we ask that you would have mercy upon us. Teach us through the power of your Holy Spirit.
Yes, Father.
Your word, your ways. And Father, in a way that's pleasing to you, we put down the pettiness. We put down always having to be right. And just let us be a merciful people. Because, Father, you said that those that need mercy need to be merciful. We've been forgiven much, Father. Help us to extend that forgiveness to others.
Yes, Father.
We give you praise and glory. We submit to you, like I said earlier today, Father, as an assembly, that we may be washed and clean and effective in your name. In Yeshua's name, we all said together.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jim. We're not done yet. Part 3 is next week. Most of you are saying, come on, Tom, can't we get this over with? It's necessary. It's the times we live in, right? So, one more time. A double dog dare you to finish the series out, okay? Got a few announcements.